Only a Game is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston. The program is made possible by your financial support. Please pledge online at WBUR.org.
Long the standard against which other spring training sites have been measured, the Vero Beach community known as Dodgertown is about to be abandoned by the Dodgers. Next year, they'll prepare for the season in Arizona. That seemed to us reason enough to send Ron Schachter south for a look at Dodgertown before the place officially changes its name.
$1, $2, $3, $4 change. Huh? And the lineup is in the front, scorecards in the middle of the book, and there's pencils here if you need one. Get your programs and scorecards here. Take one home as a memory. Lineup for today. Gotta have one, right?
That's right.
Welcome to Dodgertown, a name to which this spring training complex can lay claim only a little longer, and where the ticket office has been especially busy this spring.
Yeah, we come all the way from California just to get tickets.
The ticket agent hearing this tale wears a home plate-shaped patch on her shirt commemorating the Dodgers' 60-year stay at this former naval air base. But the Dodgers are moving on to a new spring training home in Glendale, Arizona, a half century after they relocated from Brooklyn to Los Angeles. Craig Callen, the Dodgers' vice president of spring training in minor league facilities, knows what his team is leaving behind this time.
History, tradition, just walking around Dodgertown, seeing Jackie Robinson Drive, Tommy Lasorda Lane, Vin Scully Way, all of these Hall of Famers, and these are the original fields that Jackie and Campy practice on. And it's hard to leave something that is basically in baseball hollow grounds.
At 5,000-seat Holman Stadium, the globes of the streetlights look like baseballs. The PA system still plays Take the A-Train, and the chain-link fence in the outfield leaves an unrestricted view for the general admission crowd lounging on blankets and folding chairs on the grassy slope behind it. At one time, there was no fence until too many outfielders chasing down fly balls crashed into the palm trees ringing the field. Vero Beach resident Dick Crago, the Dodgers' PA announcer here for the past 40 years, says Dodgertown has long offered a different kind of baseball experience.
This was the smallest venue where a major league team trained, and because of its smallness, players didn't feel the need of isolating themselves quite so much, and it used to be that we would see them in our movies and in our churches and things of that sort. Back before the new headquarters building was built, the players had to walk about a quarter of a mile from the dressing room to the field. And at that point, people could come up and talk to them, and it was a real nice thing for them to be able to do that.
Hall of Fame pitcher and Dodger legend Sandy Koufax still makes quiet visits from his Vero Beach home to work with the team's young pitchers. And today, in an annual rite of spring, all the current Dodgers have assembled on the field to greet fans and sign autographs before taking on the Mets. 76-year-old Bill DeLore, who started in the Dodgers' mailroom and worked his way up to become the team's traveling secretary, is spending his 45th spring training here. He has a special fondness for Dodgertown.
You can walk in the dining room and be sitting next to the general manager and having lunch, and the next day be sitting next to the mailboy having lunch. So it wasn't separated by your position in the organization. Everybody was equal, and that's what made it so unique.
As the Dodgers' departure date approaches, there's been no shortage of memories. Steve Garvey, who starred at first base in the 1970s and 80s, has just written a book chronicling his days as a bat boy here, a prelude to arriving as a player 10 years later.
Originally, when I came here in the spring of 69, it was the barracks and an army blanket and two pillows and a sheet, and there'd be eight guys to a room, and you'd look up on the ceiling, and there'd be spiders walking around, and at 7 in the morning, an older gentleman would blow the whistle, and you'd get up, and you'd gather your stuff and walk through the orange groves and go to the dining hall, and you'd eat and practice from 8 to 4 or 5 and have dinner and fool around for a little while and go to bed and get up and do it the next day. And that was the charm of it. In this wonderful setting, everything was self-contained here.
The Dodgers eventually built a more modern motel-style compound that still houses their minor leaguers. But in Arizona, the team will share a new $80 million state-of-the-art baseball complex with the Chicago White Sox. Tommy Lasorda, the 80-year-old former Dodger pitcher, manager, and executive, adds that for the past 40 years, Los Angeles has been the only West Coast team to train on the East Coast, and that their latest owner, real estate magnate Frank McCourt, saw the need for change.
The McCourts are thinking about our fans back in Los Angeles. Give them the opportunity to come and see the Dodgers in the spring training. It's very difficult to come from Los Angeles to Vero Beach. But to go from Los Angeles to Phoenix, Arizona, 4 hours in a car, 40 minutes in a plane. We'll have a lot of our fans coming over there.
Many fans in Vero Beach say they understand the economic and geographical imperatives, but only to a point. At a recent game, one showed up in a T-shirt inscribed, "Now I know how Brooklyn felt."
I won't go to Arizona. After Vero Beach, I'm done.
Lifelong Dodger fan Dan Gardella has been coming down from New York for 15 years and did not take the news of his team's move well.
I was very shocked and kind of hurt by it because this place has been a baseball heaven for many fans for many, many years, where you have access to players, the memories here. There's certain things in life money can't buy, all right, and this is one of them.
Gardella was planning to retire here, but says he's changed his mind because the Dodgers changed theirs. So is Jerry Braden, who along with his wife did retire here 8 years ago. They're selling their house and moving back to Texas at the end of the month. Braden says that the Dodgers' move to Arizona loses something in translation.
You know, you can dig up home plate and take it, and you can take the street signs that say Vince Scully Way, but that's all they are, is just signs. You just can't duplicate what, you know, 60 years of tradition means to people here.
But news of the Dodgers' springtime migration isn't bad for everyone. The Baltimore Orioles may relocate here next spring, which would preserve the almost 350 jobs at Dodgertown and the estimated $30 million annual impact on the local economy. But the sound of Oriole Town just doesn't have the same ring for Connie Braden.
It's kind of like that movie Field of Dreams, where you just have the imprints of all those past players of Brooklyn days. You know, you see those old faces in your mind of how this all developed, and for another team to come in, it's just not the same. It's not what made this Dodger town.
Instead of them disappearing into the cornfield, they're disappearing into the orange groves.
The Dodgers have scripted a less romantic exit. Besides breaking their multi-year lease, they're even leaving early this spring. Half the team has already departed for a goodwill tour of China, and those Dodgers left behind have just two more games at Vero Beach, including their finale Monday against the Houston Astros. The two squads will reunite in Arizona, where they'll spend the rest of spring training playing their new Cactus League neighbors. For Only a Game, I'm Ron Schachter in Vero Beach, Florida.
Ron Schachter's story about Dodger Town will be featured in Saturday's show. We'll also have a story about one of the most consistently successful women's college ice hockey teams in the country, and I'll be talking with Michelle Smith of the San Francisco Chronicle about which women's college basketball teams are most likely to emerge as sweet and elite. I'll be talking with John Virtue, who's written a book about how successfully Mexican baseball teams achieved integration well before it occurred to the owners of the major league teams in the U.S., that might be a good idea. We'll have a story about the Arctic Games as well, so bring your mucklucks, and remember, you can always hear the program at onlyagame.org.